Women's Shir, Chavis Halvavis, Sunday afternoon, Gimel Sivan, Gimel Sivan, Tavshin Ayin Dalet, Chavis Halvavis, Shar Cheshman HaNefesh, Women's Shir. Okay, we're in the middle of Shar Cheshman HaNefesh. We're towards the end of number 19. I told you a story, I don't know if everybody heard it, I said it on Wednesday, that I was catching to someone about my foot, and they said to me, well, at least you could walk, which is exactly Cheshbon number 19. I thank them for reminding me of it, that Cheshbon 19 says to realize all the things that are depressing in the world, all the things that can happen to people and do happen to people, and to realize that it hasn't happened to you. You don't have that. And not to take for granted if someone, Chas v'Shalom, you know, someone, if a tragedy even, or it's done, someone needs an operation, and something doesn't work in their body. So you're supposed to say, you know, there's no reason in the world why that should be happening to that person and not to me. I'm not a bigger tzaddik than he is, I assume. And therefore, you thank Hashem for everything. And you thank Hashem. So number 19 teaches you how to look at really negative things. You see someone in the street and they're in a wheelchair. They don't have legs. They have stumps. You're supposed to say, Baruch Hashem, I have legs. I thank Hashem. I'm a chimit tzaddik gover, shasali kol turkey. I see, you know, it's not mukhrach, it's not mukhrach to have legs. There's no entitlement to have legs. Look, there goes a person without legs. So that's what you should do. And that's how you should use the things you see that are not so pleasant and not so gishmak. You use them to increase your gratitude and your realization of how much Hashem gives you. Sheyustakel Hamaskil Hazad, the last few lines of number 19. Sheyustakel Hamaskil Hazad, when you contemplate that, and you, it's like you say, you know, you go to the hospital and you look up all the departments there. You say, oh, I don't have to be there, I don't have to be there, I don't have to be there, I don't have to be there. So we're laughing, but that's, the Chavikov doesn't speak it out, but his point is to inspire yourself. There's no reason in the world why you shouldn't feel gratitude towards Hashem that you have been spared. And you can see, and you can breathe, and you could walk, and you can go to the bathroom, and you can talk, and you could move your muscles, and you have two healthy legs, not like some people. And the person with the unhealthy leg says, well, at least I could walk. Many people with wounds can't walk. And so on and so forth. It's a nesoyon in some way, shape, or form. Hashem doesn't enjoy people not being sholem, doesn't enjoy people not having use of all of their evorim. It's a kapara, it's a nesoyon, it could be many, many things. Because that's how you have to look at it. You were nitzol, you were saved from these things that could happen. And you know how you know they could happen? Well, look around. They did happen. Your house wasn't broken into over Pesach. It's wonderful. Thank you, Hashem. Could have. There's got enough of them all around. Could have chosen your house. Uvehimoto mehem, imashu roi lohem. No one's able to stand up and say, well, I don't deserve those things to happen to me. I'm way too good a person. These things would not happen to me because I don't deserve them to happen to me. No one's ready to stand up and say that, I don't think. Right? We all know what we do and how we struggle. And to stand up and say, Yigdal Shvachal Al Tovos Ola Kibbalov. So commensurate with your feeling that there's no real reason why that shouldn't have happened to you, you will increase in your shevach to Hashem, in your praise of Hashem, in your thanks to Hashem,
And you'll be closer to tshuva, because look what could happen to a person. And you're not ready to say you don't deserve that it should happen to you. So you'll be spurred into, you know, cleaning the loose ends from your actions. Hashem has plenty of time. Hashem is Erech HaPayim. But Hashem remembers what I did when I was, let's say, 22 and a half years old. I don't remember anymore. Maybe I hurt someone terribly, verbally. Probably not physically, but probably. But, you know, verbally, I embarrassed him publicly. So I forgot about it already. So I'm thinking, oh, I'm such a nice person. I'm such a good person. But Hashem keeps a ledger. So who could say that from the time they were bas mitzvah, or okay, I'll grant you 20. Let's say 20. Okay? So who could say that from the time that they were 20, they're blameless and clean and they don't have to worry about any type of anything from Hashem? The Yorot Lehidabek Bavodas Babore, and so maybe he's saying two benefits from thinking this way. We don't like to think this way. It's counterintuitive, it's depressing, it's almost ghoulish. You see someone that died of a heart attack, or you see someone that broke an arm, or you see that someone was in a terrible accident, so we feel it's kind of, it's not ghoulish at all. Because Allah just wants you to say, there, but for the grace of God, go I. That's a famous, famous phrase, and that's what he wants you to say. And therefore, two good things come out of it. You feel thankful to Hashem that you have a brain and that you didn't have a stroke and that you can move your muscles and that you could walk and that you could talk and that you have, you're sane, you have your sanity. You want to go visit Kfar Shaul or that other place there on the way here, you pierce Eitanim. Go visit it. Then walk away and say, Atochonin lodamda asum lamed le'enoshbino chanina miyitcha de'obino v'haskel. It's a place where people go when they're not doing well. When they're not doing well mentally. So, what? That's probably, if it's the first bracha in Shmona Esrei, it's probably like the most important thing to a person is their seichel. Right, what's more tragic is someone with Alzheimer's. It's like your heart goes out. Look what becomes of a person. It's so frightening and it's scary, and you say, Baruch Hashem, I don't have it. You know, so two good things come out of it, says the Chavis.
The first one is that you're thankful.
The first is you feel thankful, and the second one is, hey, maybe I have a couple things that could use fixing up. Maybe I don't daven the way I should. Maybe I don't make a bracha the way I should. Maybe I talk Lashon Hara too much. Maybe this, maybe that. Maybe I waste time and I could really be doing chesed. Well, maybe.
Is that how Eov
feels? I don't know. Eov's a difficult limud. What he said and what his friends said and what he said. And did he really? We can't go to Eov. Too hard. One day we'll learn Eov. If to Ezra and Nehemiah next. What? Ezra Nehemiah. Now that we know when Mashiach's coming, so everything else is just commentary.
Yeah, but what is 2 and 2 and a half?
I was told to keep it a secret, Hashem said. Me and Daniel were told to keep it a secret. Anyway, so that's it. The second benefit is you do tshuva, because who could say, right, if to borrow from a different religion, who can say, I am without sin? So, the Yorot Lehidabek Vavodas Habori. So again, it sounds ghoulish. It sounds terrible. It sounds, no. Because it's all true. We don't like to face reality, you know. We like to run away from reality. A person thinks they'll never die. He doesn't consciously think he'll never die, but since he can't imagine dying, so he says, you know, I don't know. You know, you have these T-shirts. I plan on living forever. So far, so good. So, but, you know, you can't imagine it. So you run away from it. You run away from reality. Otherwise, who needs a bigger reality than what Chazal say? Shuv yom echad l'fnei misascha. You don't know when you'll die, so you'll do tshuva every day. So we run away from that reality. We run away from the reality of the havel havolam amar koheles, havel havolam havakol havel. So Hagelodos wants, it is a trick. It's a methodology. How to bring yourself back to reality. Be aware. Look, that person can't do this. This person takes tzedakah, and this person is always ill, and this person has issues in their house, and this person isn't, and I don't. And if you do, so you do, and you have plenty of other things. Some people don't have lungs. So there's always something. So it's not fake, it's real. Because why shouldn't we feel thankful to Hashem for whatever we do have? We're not entitled to it. That's what the Chayim Chavos writes in the beginning of Shara Bechina. It's the sense of entitlement that ruins our relationship with Hashem. Because the primary Avodas Hashem is gratitude to Hashem. And all the mitzvahs are one big way of saying thank you. This is the Chayim Chavos' major world outlook. So, what fights against it? A person's feeling of entitlement. Chagodah has three things in the beginning of Shabbat Bechina. What fights against it? We do become used to it, and we don't even realize it's a tova. Number two is, we do have problems in life, so we forget the 99 things that work, and we focus on the one thing that doesn't work. You know, when your car doesn't start in the morning, then you forget that your lungs are working. So you don't have a good sense of bad. But it's true. It's true that you know, before you start complaining, finish thanking. That happens to be true. And the third thing he says is because we feel entitled. Not only do we get used to it and we don't thank Hashem, but we feel entitled to it. We feel it's coming to me because I'm alive. So Anyway, so this is number 19, is probably directed at that feeling, and therefore look at people who don't have. You know, you could imagine being blind also. It's not gonna, maybe it'll work if you have a good imagination and you go to the blind museum there, wherever it is. But the Chavis Havadis has a much simpler exercise. When you pass a blind person in the street, you say, hey, you know, it hits you. Some people attack a blind. You will see people in the street with stumps for legs. Some people attack it, don't have legs. Some people attack it, don't have arms. You see a guy in the street mumbling to himself, collecting things from the garbage, screaming at people. You say, some people don't have all their faculties. And thank Hashem, I do. Okay. Commotion emerim shemoa tishma lekol Hashem alokecha kalamachlo shesamti b'mitzayim lo asim alecha. Hashem's not embarrassed. Hashem is not embarrassed to say, you listen to Hashem, you see what happened to Mitzrayim? See, the water turned to blood, they had Kenan, their firstborn died, they drowned. Look at all the things that happened to Mitzrayim. Kalamachlo shesamti b'mitzayim lo asim alecha keni Hashem rofecha. That's what Hashem is doing. You saw what happened to Mitzrayim, and it's not happening to you, so why not? You're not that much better than the Mitzrayim. So become much better than the Mitzrayim. Because that's what the Pasuk sets up. The Pasuk sets up, Im Shemoa Tishma, the Kol Hashem Elokecha, so Hashem's scaring them. You know, in Kol Machlo Shusamtim Mitzrayim. Because that they saw. So they saw what it means not to have water to drink. They saw what it means to have all your animals die. They saw what it means to have shechin. They saw everything. So they feel it. If it didn't happen to me. So remember that. The Omer, another pasuk in Dvarim, along the same lines. Ve'hesu Hashem imcho kol choli, v'chol madvei Mitzrayim haro'im, asher yodato. Again, Hashem is using things that they saw. And they say, it's not happening to you. Keep it that way, right? Keep it that way. Don't end up, you know, pseudo mitzrim. Ve'sur Hashem imchol kol choli v'chol medvei mitzrayim haro'im asher yodato lo yisim mombach.
V'amar echad min ha-chasidim ha-kadmonim zichrono l'vrach le-talmida v'gemar ha-brachas r'u she'ein orud meimis el ha-chet meimis. So realize that if you see an accident happening, so you have to think, why didn't it happen to me? I have a virus. I'm not pure. I have a virus for which it's entirely likely I'm chuyif misa for. But Omar David Olav Hashalom Al Shachal Vofes and Tidroch Timros Kefir V'Sanin Ki V'Choshek Va'afalotei Wasak Ve'u Ki Yodosh Mi. These Sprigam are bringing out the idea that when a person is proper, is a tzaddik, does good things, or tries his best, as we explained in the past, so then Hashem will move aside all of these mazikim which usually exist in the world. Okay, so that's number 19. We've covered it pretty much in depth. And now we'll move on to V'ha'esrim, number 20 of the 30 Cheshbon HaNefeshes. Cheshbonu HaNafsho in Li Yelo Momen. If you review the 30 things in Paragimel that he says to think about, you've basically reviewed the whole Sefer. It really is a short synopsis of the entire Sefer Chovos HaLevavos. Ruba de Ruba, mamish most of the ideas that he talks about here are all covered in the Sefer at more length and with more elaboration. For Esrim Cheshbono, rather the next Cheshbon, number 20, he talked about in Shar HaBitachon. Cheshbono im Nafsho im Yelo Momen. What's your attitude towards money? You have money, you have some money, maybe it's, let's talk about, you have even discretionary income. So what's your attitude towards it? That's an avoda, and that's something to think about. Do I have the right attitude towards money? Bepanim shekanohu, you have to think about how you acquired it. If you did it honestly, without an avera, uba ufani hotza also, and what am I spending it on? Am I spending enough on what Hashem considers to be obligatory, not just what I want to spend it on? If you owe people money, you have to be paying them. So you have your chovos from Hashem and your chovos from other people that you owe money to. People owe money, I talked about it once in shul. They think they're the biggest tzaddikim in the world if they pay up the chov. They pay it up, it's like grudgingly. Okay, you want your money here, take it. It's not your money, it's that person's money. The truth is you're not allowed to spend anything. You're not allowed to spend anything until you pay up your chovos. We're more makel, because people have to live and have to breathe. But the truth is you're not allowed to buy it. You owe people money, you buy beer basics for food, you can't buy anything else, you can buy a bed and a mattress and a chair and a table, that's it. So you certainly can't make a bar mitzvah. So how are you spending your money? Are you fulfilling your obligations? Are you fulfilling your obligations to your fellow man? Ba'al yachashivenu, don't be machshiv Me'amod olav b'levad. Don't feel the money is there to be his money. You feel very possessive. You feel very possessive towards our money. This is my money. I worked for it and I earned it and it's mine. Don't think that way. V'yeda, rather, he should channel his mind into thinking, ki hu etzlo kamo ha-pikadon. Hashem gave it to him as a pikadon, to watch over it, to be the apotropis, to watch over the money. It's Hashem's money, and he gave you the wherewithal to watch over it. Yishor kol ois sheyir tzabur b'yodol. So as long as Hashem wants him to have it, he'll have it. It's not his, behechlet. Hashem gave it to him, and as long as Hashem wants him to have it, he'll have it. Bachakach, and then after a while, it's entirely possible. It's time for someone else to have money. So Hashem takes it away and gives it to the other person. But if you realize this point, that it's not your money. It's a pikadon, that Hashem gave you a pikadon, and you could manage the pikadon, and Hashem maybe is watching. Not maybe, Hashem is watching to see how you manage the pikadon. But that's what it is, meaning it's not fully yours. Obviously, Shemitah comes to tell us this lesson too. It's not fully yours. It's only what Hashem has granted him. All of a sudden he's much calm. All the tension drains out of him. He's not worried if all the accounts receivable. Yeah, if all the accounts receivables will be paid up. Doesn't worry about it. Because you can go after the people. There's always the split between Betachon and Ishtadlus. You go after the people. But your life is not riding on it. You have more important things in your life. And this is, so little yivchol, you don't have to, it shouldn't consume you. It shouldn't consume you, right? That you're losing money. Not your money to begin with. It's Hashem's money, and he gave you a pikadon, and now he's obviously taking it away from you. So if you lose it, lo yivchol mi pigi hasman olav, you won't get scared or stressed, v'lo yatvidu milahodos l'borei. And this is already difficult, very difficult. He'll be able to give hodah to Hashem for all the other good things going on in his life. V'mishor amamam v'yado, and if your money is stays by you, you didn't have to hire a worker. The money is by you. Wow. Yoda Habore Vishabhuhu. You have to thank Hashem, and you have to hope you pass in the Sayun of having money, and you just are very, very grateful, because it's more pleasant certainly to have money than not to have money. That's for sure. Bim Yisharmam Yod Yabor Vishabhu Bim Yoba Mimeno, and then if he loses it, Yis Baldina Vier Tzabinu, because they also, he'll find it much easier to cope. This is like saying the best coping mechanism of becoming poor or of losing money is to realize before it happens that it's not really your money. So that's the best coping mechanism. So then you hear about it, it's all, it should be like as if it happened to someone else. So it's not yours. It was never yours. So Hashem decided you should have it for 13 years and 4 months and 5 days, and then no more. This is very hard, you know. You can't look at anything like a mikra. Everything is a shliach Hashem. V'yom yovad mimenu yisbol dino v'yirtzah b'guzei rosso. V'yekal be'enov l'hishtamesh bo, and he won't be stingy. He'll be free to use it. That's why Hashem gave it to me. Hashem gave it to me to use. U'lohotzio b'avodas hakel yisborach. If you have to pay money for a mitzvah, you won't resent it. Because again, this is even more intensely what Hashem wants you to do with the money. B'la'atzos ha'tov mimenu to do chasodim, b'la'achzer ha'munus to return things, b'la'hoshev Hashem ha'shakos to save people who are being ripped off, b'lo yachmon ish b'mamono, he won't be jealous of people, he won't be over the sachmon, he won't be scheming how to get something away. He knows whatever he's supposed to have, he has. Whatever the other person's supposed to have, the other person has. Well, Yivzoni or Einov, see, all these good things flow out of this one midah. He won't look down on anani condescendingly. It turns out, if handled right, if handled correctly, money, a little wealth, a little breakite, can be the siba for a lot of bracha. You learn how to handle it, you learn how to be an onov. You learn that it's not really your money, it's Hashem's money, it's just a pikadon. You learn, you know, so it could be the reason for a really ace count in a person, you know, and then the wealth doesn't have to destroy him. Moshe Rabbeinu was fabulously wealthy, the others were fabulously wealthy. Didn't affect them. Korach couldn't handle it. Korach felt, you know, he had to make certain points. Then he ended up being kofer and called terakula because he got sucked in. Below yachlish b'mamon b'leivazon ani le'ena v'yimena chazaka shebesivus amidos atovos v'tchias hamagunos. It really is a wonderful way to perfect yourself. K'mo shenemar kabedas Hashem ehoncha u'bereishis kol tvuascha. Kiyomar Mal Bahashem Chonein Dal Ugmulo Yishalim Lo. So that's Cheshbon number 20, developing the right attitude towards money, that it's Hashem's money, and it was never even yours. You can say, I lost money. I just lost $1 million. You didn't lose $1 million. You never had $1 million. Okay, we'll move on to number 21. By the way, I'm not able to come next week. Sorry. Today I came to the Sirius Nefesh. Next week I can't, possibly, unless the helicopter. Which I'm not planning on doing. Can we land on the roof here? Maybe we can land on the roof.
Sunday and Wednesday next week?
Yeah, why not? What? I'm sorry?
I said you can't come next week.
This Sunday. A week from today.
Oh, just on Sunday.
Yeah, just Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not coming this Wednesday, although I will be here, but you won't.
Oh, because the answer is true. It's not the answer.
Okay.
So this thing about the money is a very just short little paragraph.
Well, it packs a lot.
Yeah, it does.
And people's attitude towards money ruin their lives, makes them obnoxious, makes them lose friends, makes people not trust them. Make people not like them. They don't give tzedaka properly. They don't do chesed properly. It's a tremendous nisayon. And history has shown that the nisayon of Osher is a bigger nisayon than the nisayon of Oni. That's what history has shown, both on a personal level for individuals and on a national level. We're better off like turning, you turn to Hashem more and you feel more dependent on Hashem, which is anyway the way you're supposed to feel when you don't have. When you do have, you see the Torah is full of warnings when you have. Hishamru lochem pen yiftel avad chem v'sartem v'avad tem alohim achebi yim v'shtachem yisamohem. That's what happens when you have money. V'yachado v'savoto v'yishman yishurin v'yimot.
You just said something in Hebrew. What does it mean?
It's from Kriya Shema. It means Hashem's warning us that if we have it good, if we feel on top of the world and the crops are knocking and the rain is coming and you're having it good, the next step is usually to turn away from Hashem. Because you feel you have it all, right? A person that works hard and gets a paycheck from the boss, he doesn't even see where Hashem fits into the picture. Right? Till there's an economic downturn and the company decides to downsize. And all of a sudden he sees how dependent he is on Hashem.
A person with no money can't do mitzvahs, can't do chesed for other people, feels embittered. It's hard to see.
They're both nisyonos. History has shown, and again, history of individuals and history of Klal Yisrael has shown that it's easier to overcome that nisayon than the ocean nisayon. I know everybody prays for the ocean nisayon. I know. But let me tell you, it's a much harder nisayon. It's a harder nisayon for a simple reason, because the point is always to connect to the Ribono Shel Olam. And a poor person, even if he's not a big tzaddik, but you know, who's he going to turn? You know, so he turns to Hashem. And a rich person, kochi botzim yodi, that's about whom it was said. A person who feels mighty and powerful and connected and on top of the world. And that's what the Torah is always warning about. Does it have to be that way? No, the levels were fabulously wealthy. There were tanoim who were fabulously wealthy. There are people that we know that are very wealthy, and they seem to be wonderful people and doing mitzvahs all the time. And we're just...
What about the fact that the common
guy,
he had to be wealthy?
Right. It's all true.
Why is that?
Because a wealthy person is easier for him not to be afraid of other people. It shouldn't be that way. But a wealthier person
feels
more independent of others. He doesn't feel right. He's not afraid he's going to lose his job. You know, he's not afraid of what he's going to say. Like a rabbi is always afraid what to say because he's afraid he'll lose his job. Well, I thank Hashem every day that my parnosa is not dependent on the shul. So that's why I could be such a big shot. If my parnosa was dependent on the shul, I don't know how outspoken I'd be. You don't know. Because you got to watch your back.
What did he just do?
He
spoke that they had good at dinner and spoke out openly against open orthodoxy, which is basically modern orthodox. And there was such a backlash that because they did it for purists.
I don't know. Open orthodoxy, he doesn't mean modern orthodox. He means yeshivas, chovah, beit Torah, and those people. That's terrible. Of course he should speak out against them. They're conservatives. They're just giving themselves a fancy name. But it's conservative Judaism. It's exactly what it is. I mean, it's still wonderful he talked out against it, but just because you call yourself open orthodox, you know, it's a silly thing. Nowadays, that's all you need. Okay, anyway, money, you know, so the Chavis HaLodis stresses at number 20, when he talks about thinking about your money, he doesn't talk about here the Nisayan of Oni. He talks about Osher and how to develop the right attitude in money. If you open up in the beginning of Shara Bitachon and the Agdama, when he talks about having an attitude towards money, he spends much more time talking about the rich person having the right attitude towards money than the poor person. The poor person has to have bitachon, and Hashem's giving him what he's supposed to have, the zehu. The rich person has a burden of doing mitzvahs, of giving enough tzedakah. Right? One of the most frightening stories in the whole Gemara is the beginning of the sixth parak in Ksubis, where the daughter or granddaughter of Kalba Savua was destitute, and the Gemara ends up asking why did this happen to his descendants if he was such a big mal tzedakah. And one teretz in the Gemara is he didn't give as much tzedakah as he should have. Now that's scary, right? Someone gave tons of tzedakah and is punished severely for not giving as much as he should have. Now, so how do you know how much you should see? That you need a rug, you have to talk it over and you have to see. No. Like a descendant. I'm sorry, maybe Nachdima Ben Gurion. I made a mistake. Thank you for correcting me. Thank you. It was Nachdima Ben Gurion's descendant. Anyway, so that's number 20. So what did we learn today? We learned the tail end of number 19, which is to see people's sorrows and to turn it around into an experience, an avodas Hashem, both by thanking Hashem and by being spurred to tshuva. That was the end of 19. Number 20, I don't want to make fun of him publicly. Number 20 is the right attitude towards money. Number 21 is fascinating. For Echad v'Esrim. You say, I want to grow. A person wants to grow his whole life. Right? I want to daven better. I want to do more chesed. I want to think about anything good you could pick to do. So, okay, and then you reach a certain plateau. It's like, what now? Like, I don't want to stop growing, because when you stop growing, Hashem might pull the plug. And we don't want that to happen. It's going to happen to everybody eventually, but we certainly don't want it to happen. We'd rather it happen later rather than sooner. So how do you grow? In other words, you can't do more than you can do. You can only do what you can do. So you have your kolchos, they're finite, right? Different people have different kolchos and they're finite. Do we have to assume that it would take you your whole life to reach your potential of what you're capable of doing? So the Chavis HaLodos in number 21 maps out a program for growth. And it really, really is fascinating. And he says, I want you to think about this, because this is a Cheshbon HaNefesh, number 21. He basically says is this: pick a goal. We're going to learn it inside. First, let me tell it to you outside. Pick a goal. Say, I want to daven Shmoneh Esrei with Kavanah. Right? So pick something. I can't do it. It's too much for me. I know I can't. Okay. Can you do one bracha with Kavanah? Yeah, one bracha I can do with Kavanah. Take something you can do. Do it over and over and over again till it becomes habitual. And it doesn't even take any effort. Then you move on. After you've ingrained it into your... After that you just do it, it's easy. You know, you get so used to doing it that you just do it, and it doesn't take any more effort to do it because it's become habitual. That's what he says, it becomes habitual. Then you go on to what you couldn't have done yesterday, and this is how you pick yourself up by your own bootstraps, the saying is. And you daven to Hashem, and you say, Hashem, I did what I could, but I'm ready to move on. So give me the koach to go to the next level. You don't have to spend any more kochos on this level. Keep doing it. Do it for a week. Do it for a month. Maybe you have to do it for a year. Do it till it becomes habitual, that you're not expending any kochos on it. Then you say to Hashem, I want to move to the next level and do what yesterday was impossible for me to do. I'm ready to move on. Help me. And Hashem responds and gives you those kochos. That's the beautiful, beautiful Cheshbon HaNefesh 21. Cheshbonu HaNafsho, because you have to sit and think, how far can I get in my Avodas Hashem? What am I capable of doing? What am I capable of doing in my Avodas Hashem? Ulahar Gilba, set a realistic goal that you're capable of doing. Do it berigilus. Keep doing it. Bulahasmit Aleha, Vyoruts, Vyachruts La Sosa, you just keep on doing it. Achatoshiv Lola Minhug. Till you can do it with your eyes closed, with your hands tied behind your back. Till it's a no-brainer. You could have kavana on that one bracha shmona esrei, and it doesn't take a lot of effort. It don't take any effort anymore. You just slide into it. Then, vachakach, then you say, okay, I did what I could. You pick something you can do. I just picked one bracha. Maybe I feel I could really do five brachas in kavana. So don't do them all in one day either. Slowly, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about how does a person grow. Number 21 is how does a person grow to do things that he or she were not capable of doing yesterday. How do you grow beyond your beyond what, well, it was obviously potential if you can do it. Beyond what you are, what you're capable, what you seem, you know, you say, I can't do that. So how do you do it? Figure out what you can do. It doesn't have to be one bracha. Maybe it's half of Shemona Esrei. You can do it. And maybe that'll take you 5 years. Do to the extent of your kochos. Do it till it becomes habitual. And then you turn to Hashem. Now you're going to go beyond your kochos. How? The yichsuf lo belibo. Every word here is precious. Because again, in Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, it's always true. Because he's quickly saying things that he spent pages on in the Sefer. The Yichsuf Lo Belibo. I don't know if you remember this from Chayvus Halvavos, right? He holds the main thing. If we learned in Shar Bitachon when he talked about Bechira, the main thing is what you want to do, what you decide to do. Right? Chayvus Halvavos says in Shar Avos Hashem, the end of the Sefer, that a person will get schar if I really want to give. I want to build up yeshivas, I want to spread Torah, I want to do, like, I don't have any money. So obviously we will laugh and we'll say, how do you know? But Hashem knows if you're sincere or not. The yichsuf lo belibo is a madrega that a person should reach, where I really want to bring karbanos, you know, but I can't. I can't because nobody's a mikdash. But I really want to, and if the real is real, really real, not fake, because it's easy to fake it, because there's no sweat, no base on English, I can want to bring a million kabbonos a day. But if it's real, then Hashem, because the main thing of Bechira, see, it's so beautiful the way the Chavis HaLovas describes Bechira in Shara Bitachon. Because the main thing of Bechira is your choice. It's not the doing of it. The doing of it is up to Hashem. Hashem decides if you're going to be able to carry it out or not. But your Bechira lies in your choice. And what you want to do, I have chosen to do that. He was in the mind, not in the maisa. The maisa is up to Hashem. If your car's going to start, if you're going to have the money, if you're going to find the person to give the money to, if this, if that, that's all up to Hashem. Just like life is all up to Hashem.
The only thing that apparently is not up to Hashem, I have to throw in the word apparently because we haven't that discussed the depths of that philosophical question yet. The only thing that apparently is not Bi'at Hashem is a person's Bechira. But that's all in the mind. What have I decided to do? Maybe you're here, Bashar Bitochen, we talked about it. So the Yisuf Lo Belibo, I really wanna have Kavana for the whole Shemona Esrei. But, you know, but I'm at my peak. The Yala Elo B'machshavto, he tries to imagine doing it and he makes a game plan. The Yishal Mohakel Ozro Uli Amtso, to give him strength. Al Yoser Mimasha B'yicholto, to do more than he's capable of. This is how a person grows beyond his limits, beyond what he's, I can't say beyond his potential, because if it works, then obviously he had that potential. But he grows beyond what he seems to be capable of doing. Figure out the line of capability, I'll call it. It doesn't have to be something easy, it could also be something hard, but you feel capable of doing it. And I'm saying, it might take you 4 years to do that. It might take you 4 years to reach what you're capable of doing. That's not what number 21 is about. Number 21 is about after you've reached the end of your line. Do you have to call the Chevra Kadisha and say, Rabosai, it's time? No. He says a person can grow and grow and grow. It's a plan for growth. Growth beyond what you're capable of. Reach your peak. Do it and do it and do it and do it and do it till it's easy. Till it's easy. Till it's not a nisoyon anymore. Till it by rote. Becomes a minute. Your problem starts to be mitzvah sanoshim ulumada. That starts to be your problem. Then he says, if you truly desire to grow in your avodas Hashem beyond that point, and if you, again, you know, the words roll off the lips so easily, but Hashem knows what you're thinking. Hashem knows if you want, or Hashem knows if. Let's say if I would be speaking again to men, I would say, you know, I could learn 2.5 hours a day. So I really can't learn more, I have responsibilities. Okay, so you work your way up to 2.5 hours. Maybe it'll take a year. Okay, you work your way up to 2.5 hours, and now it's not a struggle anymore. And you do it for a couple of years maybe, till it's not a struggle anymore. Then you say, you know, I really want to learn 3.5 hours. I really, really would like to. So, if you really desire to, and you dive into Hashem to let you do more than you're capable of, Yosef Mimash B'yesh B'yecholtom in Ayadia V'amaisa B'leiv U'matzpun Ne'emon U'ksheyasmid Al U'ksheyasmid. You do that, and you push, and you push, and you daven, and you push. Yamsi lo, this is Chazal is talking. He's like making a promise. This is better than Kupa Soir. Yamsi lo abore bakashosov. This is Hashem. You'll do it. You'll break through. V'yiftach lo shari yediyoso v'yachazek sichlo v'evorov lamod b'mitzvosov asher lamalo miyacholto madrego acha madrego. This is an amazing thing, number 21. Amazing. How do I do more than I'm capable of doing? Again, the plan of action is reach your capabilities, do it till you're not expending any more, like, mental energy on it. You crawl, you're there, you do it, you know, it's habitual. That's what his lashon is. Truly desire to do more, dive into Hashem, to pick you up and to allow you to do more than you're capable of. You made an honest assessment. And then you'll get it. And you'll grow. You'll be able to do more. Hashem will make it work.
Don't your capabilities change over time? Like, you couldn't lift 100-pound weight, so you start with a 10-pound weight. After a while, suddenly you realize...
Beautiful, 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 beautiful. And the Chavis Haldolus is saying...
because Hashem is handing you a program to make that happen. Exactly what you just described. Hashem is handing you a program to make that happen. So you're saying it happens naturally, which is okay. By lifting weights, maybe it does. Now I'm not capable. By the time I'm lifting 15 pounds, I don't know.
Right.
So now I become capable of lifting 20. It's like magic. But it doesn't work in Avodas Hashem. That's what he's saying. In Avodas Hashem, he's given you a program of desiring and davening to Hashem to make it happen. Okay? Now I'll get going. And,